Hi everyone, I'm back to do a little bit of podcasting early in the morning on December 7th, 2022. I was inspired to do this today because it's been a long time since I have, and because I have been studying so hard for so long and have so many things going on that have really changed the direction of my life. However, recently, the pagan path has been calling me again. Not that it hadn't ever. I mean, I wanted to say, I am a, what you call a witch, I suppose, and I just read a really cool book about that called Waking the Witch, or called by Pam Grossman. I think that's the name of it, or Finding the Witch, or Waking the Witch, but it, whatever, I'll look it up in a second. The was a great book in a lot of ways. It was talking about how women for centuries have been called witches for various reasons, and a lot of it has to do with strength and power and healing ability or artistic talent or just standing up for their rights. What's the name of this book? It's over here by my little kitty. There it is. Waking the Witch. I was right. Pam Grossman, who has a really interesting, I think, podcast that you could check out if you wanted to as well, about witchcraft, and she interviews a lot of people on it, and it's pretty cool. So anyway, I read that book and it was like, I got the book because I was like, I think like my witch is asleep. I have been so busy, as so many of you are, and the pandemic has wretchedly removed a good portion of my, or has, and hopefully it returns. It hasn't returned yet. I'm a person in New York City and there's just nothing here except for one small thing that people sort of get together and do, pagan wise, and there's a couple of stores, but there's not a lot of events and there's not a lot of community in the pagan community in New York City. So I'm a little bit solitary, a lot of bit solitary. I do my magic. I don't do ritual. And that's what I'm here to talk about. Am I still pagan if I don't do a ritual? Am I a witch if I don't do magic every day? Is it a black and white thinking thing for me or for others? Is it a dedication that has to happen every moment of your life? Or is it just something that happens when you need it or want it? Do I have to constantly make sure every moon, full moon, new moon, both quarters, you know, of the moon, that I'm here and I'm aware and that I know my astrology for the day and that I'm on it on a regular basis? Does it make me less of a pagan or a witch if I don't do that work? I've also taken a road, and I do this often. It could be that I have ADHD. It could be that I'm an adult that has a lot of different interests, or it could be just somebody who's extremely eclectic, but I go down different paths sometimes. And I have been, as a pagan, on many paths. I'm initiated first-degree Gardnerian to a coven that fell apart because the high priests both died, and it fell apart when they did. And then I was also initiated into, you know, some ancient Roman magical work and in a coven in New York City in the 90s. I was also self-initiated with my own group that was an eclectic sort of group that came out of this grove experience we had at Enchantments in New York City on East 9th Street, First Avenue in the 90s. So all those things, you know, but during the whole time I had been called actually to Isis, in a lot of ways, not understanding who she was, but very much my whole life, interested in ancient Egyptian magic. And being raised a Catholic and finding out that ancient Egyptian stuff was really not so far away from Catholicism kept me in a lot of ways quite interested in it. I never really studied it, but it was sort of called to me. I was put into a group, actually, and told I should study that, and I didn't. I left. I had to leave for various job work opportunities. But here it is again that I become an initiated priestess. I am an ordained priestess of Isis, a member of the Fellowship of Isis, and I am going to be. I was already initiated into Fellowship of Isis through a grove that I was part of, but now I am part of an Iseum, and I am definitely a priestess of Isis, and I am now dedicated to the goddess Sekhmet. So I am working with Sekhmet for the next couple of years, most likely, just working on understanding her. I think she called me. I am a Leo, and Sekhmet is a lion-headed goddess who is daughter of Ra, one of the ancient ones, and who is very much like a Leo queen type person, and I am that. So I felt very called to her. My name is Ariam Sekhmet Emra in Egyptian. So that's what I've been doing, actually. You know, it's unfair of me though, because I went on to a different plane and a higher, what I say, a higher octave of study. Not that what I did before was lower, certainly not. Learning to be a witch or a pagan is onerous. Here's how this happened for me. Now that I'm talking about where I am, let's go back to who I was. I might have said this before in another podcast, but it bears repeating. It's easy to say who I was then. I was a mother of a child who was in kindergarten, and I was working at a veterinary hospital in the East Village. And across the street from the veterinary hospital was Enchantments, which was a famous at the time. At the time, it was still kind of maybe, I don't know. It moved and changed owners, but it still exists. At this time, it was on First Avenue between First and Second, and they had this coolest of the coolest window display. It was always frightening to me, these gods and goddesses, and they had magical symbols and all these cool things, and a half moon, a crescent moon sign hanging at outside the door. And you wouldn't, I just would stare at it. I would just, where I was sitting in this veterinary hospital directly across the street from it, I could see the window. And I would look and I would watch them change it, not know why. There's something about it that just freaked me out, terrified me as a, you know, I was a not a practicing, but had been raised a Catholic and sure that anything to do with witchcraft was going to send me right to the devil. You know how this goes, period. Amen. So anyway, I would stare and stare and stare and stare. And then finally, one day, I got up the chutzpah and I went there and I never left. Never. I stayed going to that store. That store became my home away from home. I think I bought every book in it. I think I bought every candle they made, every amulet, every talisman. I studied every inch of that space, lived there, loved it. It's a wine bar now, that one particular version of it. There's another version of it similarly, if you're interested in that in New York City, and it's still a very nice place. It's between Avenue A and First Avenue on East 9th Street. Now it moved and changed owners' hands. When I was there in the 90s, it was a big surge of witchiness happening. And I think this is happening again, but it's happening in a different way. When it was happening then, it was community. It was you went somewhere and you had to go somewhere. The internet, like, it didn't exist like we have. You know, Google didn't come around until like 99, you know, really. So, or so, right? Where it was like a search engine you could use, and there was community, and there was Facebook didn't exist until like in the early 2000s. So there was nothing but going to places. And I have to say, I miss that. I'm not an old woman, really. I am older, but I'm not old. And I do miss that. I miss my community. I miss holding hands in a circle. I miss chanting with others. I miss fire being lit and candles being passed. I've done great things in community, from like just joyful celebrations for things like Ostara, for, you know, for the spring equinox, or you know, I remember spring equinox. I went to this place once in Pelham Park in the Bronx, a very wild area where it was spring equinox, but it was snowing. It was snowing. And we went anyway, my son, myself, and my at that time husband. And we went to this wooded area and we danced and we chanted around a little fire that was lit, and we ate eggs and we called this to the goddess, and it was just amazing. Amazing. I've had ritual on the beach during a full moon. I've danced naked on Coney Island with others. I could write books about these beautiful experiences, which don't exist for me anymore, and it's, have fallen by the wayside. Now, there are things called Witch Fest, which I think I'm interested in maybe going this year. I'm thinking about it because I miss my community. You know, but with COVID, there's always this thing, you know, will we have a surge? Will it be terrible? Will I be able to go and not get sick? Will I get sick? Ugh, all of that. Will I have the money? That's another issue, you know. And can I do magic to make it all happen? Well, I have to want to, right? I worry that if I go to a place like that, or I find other spaces, that I may not be accepted because of my age. A lot of witches now are new witches, new woe. Pagans, which is great. It's a great influx of young women and men and others into this world. And I'm so happy that they're there. But sometimes I feel a little odd being older. So I am experienced and have a lot to offer. But when somebody's on the path of discovery, sometimes they don't want somebody more experienced around. You know, some of us that are more experienced, tend to sometimes get bossy or be judgmental. I'm not. I try not to be. I bless the children. May they all thrive in the light of the goddess. But I worry that that's a problem. So I don't go as much. But that's a long story. What I'm saying is this: why aren't I? Am I a good witch or a bad witch now? Am I a bad pagan because I am studying Chinese acupuncture and not down the road of more pagan work? What is it? Am I wrong? Am I bad for doing this? So I thought I'd bring it up today as we're entering into the season of Yule, and I'm really feeling the pull this time of the solstice. I really am. I keep waking up at dawn and the sun is beaming through my window and I'm calling on the sunrise and calling on Isis to fly into my life at the sunrise as she lights the sky with her, and Ra is apparently on the horizon and all of these wonderful things. One of the best parts about the Yule season and this winter solstice is the darkness before. The darkness before the time, the darkness where it's so quiet, where it's the time of the morning in a way, where it's symbolically like when you're asleep just before you need to get up and it's peaceful and you're in that deep sleep. And then the alarm gently wakes you sometimes and you go on with your day. So this is the place where we're at, the re receding time, the relaxing time, where the waves of the ocean pull out before they come back on the shore. We're in that space of the pull away of energy. Plus, we have a big thing with Mars in Gemini in retrograde, so it's also a time where everything's pulling back. You can speak, you can communicate, but you can't really get forceful about things. Things are so on the just sort of waiting list. And we have right around the corner, we have a Mercury retrograde coming up on December 29th. So there's that. A lot of change there too, where it's like, okay, we're going to freeze ourselves in Capricorn for a while, and we're not going to move, and we're going to have to organize ourselves at the beginning of the year. So this is a time to say, okay, I mean, it always happens. We always have Capricorn come in January. Everybody wants to get organized. That's why we do it. Capricorn is a sign of order and structure. So anyway, we're getting ready for the new changeover. So it's a good time to just release things, maybe a time to let go, a time to sit quiet, a time to light black candles, not for bad magic, but to release, you know, or just to get rid of the burdens of the year, the burdens of the pandemic, the burdens of money issues, and to clear the channels. Maybe I'm not a bad witch or a bad pagan, and maybe you're not either because you don't get up every day and bow to the gods. Maybe it's just time to just say, you know what? I'm living in this sort of zone where I do revere these beings and I are these deities or not, but I do revere my own spiritual progress and I care about what I do and how I present myself in the world as a pagan and how I do my practice. I wish sometimes when I was young I wanted to be a nun. This is why, not because I don't know why. As far as the religion is concerned, and being a nun certainly is not the right place for me because I would have revolted entirely. However, the idea of being sequestered and being in a space where I had to get up in the morning and pray and do the rosary and do acts of service all day long appealed to me. It was a way, just like Tibetan monks and nuns do, as a way for me to just be sequestered and in that spiritual path and on that spiritual path and path all the time. And I don't think in the world we live in that that is possible in the world outside of a sequestered monastery. Or it's impossible. You know, you can't do it. You can't. I wish, wouldn't it be nice to say, here's my sequestered place where I go, even if I went once every 3 months or every solstice or every new moon to a place like they have for yoga retreats or for other kinds of healing retreats? Wouldn't it be great if there was a pagan retreat like that, where you could go and have a temple? To where you can be with the deity you believe in or not, to be with other like-minded souls, to be with the earth, to be with animals. That would be lovely. That would be nice. Anyway, I'm rambling. I also am doing this today because unfortunately for me and my husband, we lost our dear two cats. We had two beautiful boy cats. We lost one on September 4th, and we lost his brother just Monday on December 5th. And because of their loss, I feel like, I don't know, I just feel like I need to do this for them. How silly as that might sound to some of you out there, I think they would have liked me to talk. They liked me to talk about this stuff, and they were my little magic cats. And I need to bring this back into the house. It was hard when they were here before they passed because both of them were very, very sick, and the energy of the house was very, very dark and very, very depleted. But there's lifting of light. They have risen to where they need to be next. They are, as we think in Egyptian thinking, they are with Osiris in the underworld. They are becoming the next thing they will again become. They are with the all. They are one with all of us. They are anywhere they want to be. And that makes me happy. And those of you out there who have little furry friends and will totally understand, or scaly friends or any kind of animal friends would understand that feeling, of course. So here's a podcast. I did it, and I'm going to do it whenever I am inspired again and I have something to say. And I do want to say is, you know, have a wonderful Yule season. There are podcasts on this list that are about Yule, which I don't need to talk about again. If I talked about it once, I think that's enough. I'm thinking about going back into talking about tarot and maybe some astrology and maybe kind of tying that all together with healing arts and herbalism, which I am studying both Chinese, and I have also studied and, you know, officially kind of learned a lot about Western astrology and magical astrology. So those are things that I can talk about and I want to talk about. So I'm going to pick up this podcast and bring it back to the future. And I hope you all are having a wonderful, relaxing, peaceful end of your year. May all of us thrive. May the God and Goddess be with us always. And may you feel empowered to walk into the new year in a new, strong way, in the light and love of all that nature and the universe provides. Blessed be. Bye.